Narayanam namaskritya Naram chaiva narottamam Devam sarasvatim vyasa Tato jayamudiraye Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya This is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 31, Movements of the Living Entities, Text 39. Sangam Association.
Na.
Not.
Na.
Kuryat.
Kuryat.
One should make.
One should make.
So Sangam na kuryat. Pramadashu.
Pramadashu.
With women.
With women.
Jatu.
Jatu.
Ever.
Ever.
Yogasya.
Yogasya.
Of yoga.
Of yoga.
Param. Culmination. Param. This is Param. Topmost. Arurukshahu.
One who aspires to reach.
Matsevaya.
Matsevaya.
By rendering service to me.
By rendering service to me.
Patilabda. Obtained. Atmalabha.
Self-realization.
Vedanti. They say. Yaha.
Which women?
Niraya.
Niraya.
To hell. Dwaram. The gate. Asya. Of the advancing devotee. Sangam nakurya pramada sujatu. Yogasya paramparam arukshuhu. Matsevaya pati labdhatma labho. Vedanti ya niraya dwaram asya. Sangam na kurya pramada sujatu. Yogasya param param arukshu. Yasivaya pratilabdhatma labho. Vedantiya niraya dwaram asya.
Sangam
nakurya pramada sujatu.
Yogasya param param
arurukshu.
Matsevaya prati
labdhatma labho.
Vedantiya niraya dwaram asya.
Sangam nakurya pramada sujatu.
Yogasya param param arukshu.
Masevaya pratidablatma labho.
Vedantiya niraya dwaramasya.
Sangam nakurya pramada sujatu. Yogasya param paramavarukshu. Masevaya prati labdhatma labho. Vedantiya niraya dwaram asya. Translation. One who aspires to reach the culmination of yoga and has realized his self by rendering service unto me should never associate with an attractive woman. For such a woman is declared in the scripture to be the gateway to hell for the advancing devotee. Published purport. The culmination of yoga is full Krishna consciousness. This is affirmed in Bhagavad Gita. A person who is always thinking of Krishna in devotion is the topmost of all yogis. And in the second chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is also stated that when one becomes freed from material contamination by rendering devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can at that time understand the science of God. Here, the word patilabdhatma labha occurs. Atma means self, and labha means gain. Generally, conditioned souls have lost their atma, or self. But those who are transcendentalists have realized the self. It is directed that such a self-realized soul who aspires to the topmost platform of yogic perfection should not associate with young women. In the modern age, however, there are so many rascals who recommend that while one has genitals, he should enjoy women as much as he likes. At the same time, he can become a yogi. In no standard yoga system is the association of women accepted. It is clearly stated here that the association of women is the gateway to hellish life. The association of woman is very much restricted in Vedic civilization. Out of the four social divisions, the brahmachari, vanaprastha, and sannyasi, three orders, are strictly prohibited from the association of women. Only the grihastha or householders are given license to have an intimate relationship with a woman. And that relationship is also restricted by for begetting nice children. If, however, one wants to stick to continued existence in the material world, he may indulge in feminine association unrestrictedly.
Yo payati shanar maya yoshadeva manir mita tamikshatmo mrityam tunaikupai bhavatam.
The woman created by the Lord is a representation of maya, and when he associates with such maya by accepting services, must certainly know that this is the way of death, just as a blind well covered with grass.
Yam manyate patim moham man mayam rishabhayatim stritvam stri sangata prapto vittapatya griham param.
A living entity who, as a result of attachment to a woman in his previous life, has now been endowed with a form of a woman, foolishly looks upon Maya in the form of a man, her husband, as a bestower of wealth, progeny, house, and many other assets, material assets. A woman, therefore, should consider her husband, her house, and her children to be the arrangement of the external energy of the Lord for her death, just as the sweet singing of the hunter is death for the deer. Due to his particular type of body, the materialistic living entity wanders from one planet to another, following fruitive activities. In this way, he involves himself in fruitive activities and enjoys the results of his work incessantly. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. So, any questions? It's clear. So, this is the third canto. Right? And, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam is a progressive development, right? It starts the first two cantos, Lotus Feet of Krishna. And in 2.2.12, Prabhupada mentions sex life about 27 times in the purport. And he says that, you know, one should not dare to recite beyond the first two cantos while if he's still entangled in gross illicit sex. So I suggest anybody here is still entangled in gross illicit sex, go to a different class at this point. But it is. It's just very intense, you know. If I was in the female body, God, I'd walk around feeling embarrassed all day, you know. Carry a badge, you know, gateway to hell, like that, right? You know, and all the, but it's all simultaneous. He probably is describing that for a woman. He probably says, you know, when I say woman, I mean man for a woman, because for a woman it's the same thing. You know, you walk home and look at your house and your husband, you know, gateway to hell, right? Here's my house. This is for my death. This is my husband. He's meant for my death, like that. So your wife's looking at you. Yeah. But this is actually the material situation. Yeah. Arjuna sees everything. In the 10th chapter, 11th chapter, 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna shows everything about material life. Right? In the 10th chapter, he gives examples from specific energetic incarnations. This is pantheism. Probably uses the term, you know, in the second canto. That explains that. So this is the beginning. Virat Rup Darshan is pantheism, appreciating this potency, this divinity in nature. In California, there's one guy named John Muir. John Muir. And he was a big, you know, explorer during the beginning of California. He traveled all over the place. He discovered Yosemite Park and all these beautiful things. He made maps. And now the Muir Club is a big club now. And they have thousands of members. And they support ecological groups. They have hiking trips, you know, mode of goodness like that. So one time, for example, he was camping with one friend in Yosemite Park with, you know, with horses and a couple mules for their food and stuff like that. You know, traveling around, finding all these just beautiful things in the park. beautiful waterfalls, hundreds of feet tall, so many things. And then one night this big windstorm came, So he climbed up in a pine tree. You can climb up in these things. Maybe like 40, 50 feet off the ground, maybe twice as high as the tower out here. And way up in the top, and he was just hanging on like on the flexible top in the wind. There's wind blowing like that, 40, 50 miles an hour. So what is the wind? What does Krishna say about the wind in Bhagavad Gita?
Purifier as I am
the wind. So how do you feel after you come down after that? You just, so it works. This is pantheism. It's called the first step in God realization, pantheism. And many people appreciate this. You find people that are appreciating the taste in water, the fragrance of the earth, the light of the sun, the ability in man, right? The ocean. And so much money to live near these places. Why? Because you're associating with Krishna. You become purified. You become energized. You become intelligent. Right? But then at the end of that chapter, among fish I am shark. How big is a great white shark? Would he fit in this room? Mr. Porpoise over there. You must know this. Huh? They would fit in this room. But he wouldn't. He probably could turn around. They're big, big jaws, a few rows of teeth. It is, wow, God. I'm looking at God. It's a specific energetic incarnation. So at the end of that chapter, Krishna says, but what is the use of all these details, With a single spark of my splendor, ekak sena stito jagat, I maintain the entire universe. So who's maintaining this table? Inertia? That was Newton's law. We don't accept Newton's law of inertia. No, there is no inertia. Every moment, Krishna has to maintain everything. As soon as, it's like it was the Matrix. After 20 years, I saw that thing. You pull the plug and the whole thing just... So the Paramatma stops maintaining it. There's no columns, there's no floor, there's no colors, there's no tables, no water, there's no glass, there's no microphone, wind guard. It's everything. It just goes away, like that. So that's the end of chapter 10. So then in chapter 11, Arjuna says, very nice, thank you for all these things, for enlightening me. I can see how I can be Krishna conscious now, even in ordinary life. Every time I taste some water, I can be Krishna conscious. But you also mentioned this Paramatma feature in the last chapter. Could I see that? So Krishna says, okay, I'll show you my Paramatma feature, but you can't see it with your ordinary eyes. Divya Dadami Te Chakshus. So I give you divine eyes, like that. And it's like, and so Arjuna, then he could see everything he ever wanted to see, ever could see, everything that existed any place, any time, or everything that could exist any place, any time, all at one time like that, standing there. And what happened? His hair stood on end, the blood was running cold in his veins, his eyeballs were bulging from his sockets. And he began to compose prayers to Krishna. People memorize these prayers like that. It's just amazing. He saw all of the soldiers entering into Krishna's mouths and being struck, crushed, their heads crushed. He saw Krishna heating all the worlds, with his colors. He was filling the skies, all the Kamalasana, Lord Brahma, all the demigods, Lord Shiva, the Rudras, the Adityas, the Maruts, they were all offering prayers and fear and wonder like that. So finally he asked, he said, who are you? And Krishna said, I am. There we go. Pundit. Time I am, destroyer of the worlds, and I've come to engage all people. So that's the conclusion, right? As long as we have the slightest bit of attraction for the material world, we cannot become fully Krishna conscious. Right? As long as we're thinking there's anything attractive here. And of course, the ultimate attractive feature is this perverted reflection of Radha and Krishna. Right? That's the ultimate spiritual attraction. Prabhupada explains that earlier. And so that's also the ultimate material attraction. But in a perverted form, we're trying to dominate this. So the slightest bit of attraction like this is from a fragrance. Then we cannot become fully Krishna conscious, right? We can't serve Krishna, perfectly. So we have to understand this, that this attraction for the opposite sex in material consciousness to dominate them Every woman wants to dominate a man. Every man wants to dominate a woman in different ways. You know? One brahmachari, Radha Govinda, he was thinking about getting married. He found that special little, you know, sweetheart. And she was feeling the same way about him, you know. And he was thinking about getting married. So Mother Uma, she was one of Hansa's disciples from Germany, maybe about 42. And she was kind of news was spreading in the community. So she, one time she just stopped him and she said, you know, Radha Govinda, you know, I hear you thinking about getting married, but if you want my opinion, don't get married. I know women. I used to be one. When a woman looks at a man, she's thinking about one thing: how much work can I get out of this guy? Like that. Yeah. So I was married, and I worked that man until he dropped. Then I climbed up on his head, and I was looking around for the next one. So it's a materialistic consciousness. So maybe, you know, more or less, right? In extreme materialistic consciousness, one becomes like Lady Macbeth and inspires her husband to kill, you know, some of the other guys so she can become the queen. And it goes expanding like that. And so many stories, you know, of murder, assassination, like that. You know? On the other hand, it may be just very, very mild, you know, in a sense like that. You know? Lady may only want just to be able to talk to her husband every now and again, get a little shelter, advice, and feel a little protection like that. You know? Okay, it's much better. In this position, we can begin to figure out who we are. You know? But the real position is she should realize that my real husband, my real protector is Krishna. Right? And then and I have to, if Krishna is passing through my husband, empowering my husband as his representative, okay. You know, in the same way too. If somebody thinks I want to enjoy my senses, so my wife, and she laughs at my jokes, you know, she makes me feel good. It's subtle. Okay, it's better. You can begin to realize what I really want to do is engage my senses in pleasing Krishna. That Krishna laughs at my joke. That Krishna likes to play with me. You know, and then my senses become fully enlivened in a sense like that. And that's real sense gratification. So, Prabhupada says this earlier. I guess it's earlier. Don't worry. It's either earlier or later. I can't figure out which. Param drishvam nivartate. I guess it's... somewhere. 38. Huh? 38. Yeah, somewhere earlier. You're right. Yeah, it's there. Param drishvam. Yesterday's verse, right? Yeah. And so here it's very intense because it's the third canto, and you know we have to take more and more intense medicine, right? You have to, first off, you have to, you know, melt the sponge, then you got to squeeze it, you know, then you got to put the heat on to boil it, and then finally the water will become vapor and leave like that, you know. So the beginning, okay, you don't want to just put the sponge in the fire because it'll burn up. First off, you want to put a little warmth. And it becomes soft, then you start squeezing it, like that. And then you put the heat on for boiling it, right? So different levels, and you don't want to take medicine that's more advanced than you're ready for. You know? Or else it'll simply cause destruction, like that. It'll cause a contrary effect. Prabhupada says artificial renunciation will produce a result worse than the sense gratification. You know? There was one man, for example, in psychology background, he was a sergeant in the army. And he was doing okay, and he was ready for an advancement to the next level, and he would make more money and have more prestige, more time free, you know, so on. But he went out and got drunk, got in a fight, and couldn't get promoted. So it's happened about 5 times, you know. So finally somebody figured out there's some kind of problem here, and they sent him to the psychologist. And the guy is going through everything else. And finally what it came down to was he had a real strong tendency towards child molestation. You know, child molestation. And he knew that if he had less, you know, more freedom to do what he wanted to do and go where he wanted to go without observation, to have more money, then he could get right into that stuff. He didn't want to do it. You know? So unconsciously, whenever the opportunity came to advance and get more money and more freedom, he was doing something so he wouldn't advance like that. You know? Like that. Okay, so you know, this guy's drinking and fighting and stuff, we should stop this. Well, if he's going to stop it, then he's going to become a child molester. So it's better he drinks and fights, right? You prefer that. Drinking and a little fighting is better than, you know, just traumatizing some poor child and just, you know, well, you can kill them, you know, and so on. So many times, you know, we are, you know, there's different levels. We have different attachments. And what we've already had the story of, you know, of Kardama and Devahuti. That's why this is going on, right? Because they were attracted to each other. And, you know, Swami Narayan. Very close, though. Which form did you see? Sachinarayan. Sachinarayan, that's the form you saw. Sachinarayan didn't say, no, you should be brahmachari, stick it out, stay tough. And he said, no, you should get married. And you should experience this, you know, but in a controlled fashion, right? You know, you're going to have to go through this one more time. Me Tarzan, you Jane, him Cheetah, here we go, like that. But, you know, maybe people experience that here. You have some attachment, you just want to chanting Hare Krishna, you know, one time was enough to go through it, like that, you know. I have unlimited attachment for football. Can't give it up. But okay, I'm just going to chant all the way. I'm watching a football game. I won't stop chanting. You know, I won't do it. One time, never again attracted. Like that. From Vishram Nivartate. So, okay, one lifetime, right? Going through this, you know. And then, yeah, being kicked by the she-ass in the face. or having to submit to some psychotic husband's instructions, you know, neurotic guy's instructions. You know. Yeah. Ultimately, yeah, I can't render the service I want to. I remember when I was married, I was working like an ass, you know, as a carpenter's assistant and stuff, and making some money and hitting my fingers with hammers and stuff. All this stuff. You know. But it was Valentine's Day, you know. So I asked my boss I could take a little time off from work and go buy some box of candy for my wife and everything else. And I went there and did all this stuff and everything else, came back. You know, it was a bigger endeavor, you know. So I came home at night and I gave it to her. She said, oh, yeah, yeah, I put it aside like that. Didn't even look at it or say, you know. So I became angry, like, wow, you know, I did all this work. You didn't appreciate it, you know. But I was becoming a devotee and I had a little philosophy. So then I remembered, wait a second, why am I angry? Right? You know, lust becomes anger because of attachment. Well, I'm angry because I wanted her to, you know, appreciate me and all these kind of things, you know. But she doesn't know what I did. She doesn't know I had to go through all this effort. Why, you know, some guy at the street could have been selling it or something, you know. And so, you know, I'm trying to make her into God as the enjoyer of my service like that. And she's not. She's just an ordinary human being, you know. So then right away, my anger just went away. And okay, like that. So I made some nice advancement like that. Yeah? So we begin to understand who we actually are, what our actual position is. And then it can be quite nice. You know, it can be a very nice position for serving Krishna. It's not a permanent position, you know, husband and wife, like that. But it's a nice progressive position. When somebody's in the prison, he assaulted people, hit them in the head, took their money, you know, a long time. They caught him, he's in prison for assault and robbery for 15 years. And, you know, hates everybody, you know, fighting. But then finally, at some point, he has a change in heart. I'm wrong. I'm wrong. I shouldn't be like this. So at that point, the prison becomes a wonderful place, right? You know, why am I like this? Well, because my father, he was always beating me. He was an alcoholic, and you know, I have so much anger and hate and resentment to people. You know, there's a psychologist here. I can go see a psychologist and start to get these things out of my heart. But if I go out, what am I going to do? I have no way of making decent money. Okay, there's vocational training. I can learn how to be a carpenter. Actually, this is where I came here. I was in Boise, Idaho. And we went to prison on Friday. It's the Snake River Correctional Institution. It's on the border of Oregon and Boise. And Chandradas is a psychologist there in the prison like that. It's way out in the middle of nowhere. So if you escape, you got to go a long time before you can, you know, merge into society. And it's a maximum security prison like that. So you go inside there and all these doors and locks. And when you're inside, your vastu potency goes to work, and you're realizing there's no way out of here. It's like there isn't like a little crack here or there. It's just like your mind isn't really, you know, causes a psychological reaction. You realize that, you know, if some of these guys don't like me, there's no way out. You know? So he went in, there was about 40 people there, you know, in their uniforms. And Chandra had combined it with the Tantra Yoga group, with his Bhakti Yoga group. So I gave a whole lecture and talking, and very, very good questions, you know. One of the prisoners said, "We're in prison, and we realize it. And people on the outside are in prison, but they don't realize it. So in some ways, we're in a better position than they are," you know. It was very good realizations. They started dancing and chanting. They started, like, you know, holding each other's arms and spinning around and stuff. It was really quite a wild kirtan like that, you know. And suddenly I realized, God, you know, these people, probably 25 of them are murderers, and the other 15 are rapists. They were all chanting and dancing. It was like strange situation, you know. You know, it's like if you're here, look around, like, you know, what is this? Like, you know, three quarters of the people have murdered somebody, and the other fifth have raped somebody. Or it's like, you know, wow, you know, yeah. But that's the whole material world, you know, grow to settle. And so when you decide, no, I want to surrender, you know, okay, then there is. They have a psychologist. Chandra's a psychologist, and he can take people to psychiatrists, to heavier therapy. He says, it's amazing, these guys, just, you know, most of them are not bad people. They are not bad people. The most of them, they simply have a certain karma, and they got in a certain stimulating situation, and they just killed somebody like that. You know? And then, what do you do for a job? So they have a construction training thing, and they build houses. They teach them every single aspect of it, you know, tiles, kitchen sinks, floors, framing. And when they get out there, you know, trained up, they can go get a job in the construction industry like that. Other things too. So you begin to, then at that point you say, yeah, this is a good place. This is, for me, right now, this is where I should be. And all the guards start helping you. Everybody becomes your friend, you know. And maybe they're more strict with you than they are with somebody else, because they don't want you to fall in bad association. And then you're thinking, you know, I can't control my senses now, so I need a regulated schedule. I need, like, bars, right, to keep me under control. And so at that time, that place, that's the best position for you. There's no better place than Vaikuntha or Goloka or any place else. This is the best position for me right now. I'm not going to stay here. I don't want to stay here. You know? Or maybe I want to come back as a prison guard or help out like that. Okay. You know. But basically, usually I want to go back to my spiritual world. You know, take up my position and serving Krishna again. The Prabhupada says Krishna wants our service, and he demands it, you know, both. But he actually wants it. He misses, you know, whatever we do, making cookies or, you know, I don't know, playing the violin or something, fanning. You know, where's old Sarva? He always in Maya. You know? Yeah. So we get out of Maya, then we can serve Krishna, right? And in our original position like that. You know? And so then we see all these things, you know. Yeah, I'm just so crazy that if I know one devotee, which is his name, but he said he has a very chaste, fixed wife, and they're indulging in sense gratification in various ways. He smokes a couple cigarettes a week and making some money, but he's still a devotee. He chants and he's trying like that to make progress. And he says, I can actually see I'm making progress, you know. And he's seeing that actually, if I didn't, you know, I fight with my wife and stuff like this and that, and this and that, so many things. But he said, if I wasn't married, and, you know, to such actually a good girl, you know, he said, I would probably end up picking up girls in bars, and at some point I would have been killed by somebody, you know, in some kind of fight over a woman or something like that, you know. So he says, not perfect, but boy, this is a lot better than it could be. And I really have to thank my wife for, you know, helping me keep my senses under control like that. Otherwise, you know, I'd probably be dead by now, I'm just saying like that, my tendencies. So anyway, at this point, you know, Kapila's just really talking about the material nature and then the ultimate limit. And we have to understand that we have to completely out this bodily concept. You know? Have to be able to come out. We may enter into it for preaching purposes, like Vyasadeva, but ultimately we have to be capable of the same perception as Sukadeva Goswami. Sukadeva Goswami just didn't see people's bodies like a, you know, 3-year-old child. He has no conception of his sexual stimulation. It's just, you know, he could see men or women naked and maybe be curious, you know, but it wouldn't be any kind of like agitation or lust. So when Sukadeva Goswami was walking by, these naked young girls were looking at him, and it's just like he's just like looking back at them, and they can realize he has no conception of these things. It's just like a little child, you know, like that. And he's concerned about something else, some other kind of relationship, you know. And that's the relationship, spiritual relationship. The Prabhupada says in Naimisharani, there's still many yogis like that, you know. So I've been there several times. They have big beards usually, you know. Naimisharani? They have big beards and stuff. And it's a very peaceful place. It's like Vaikuntha. They say in the forest of Naimisharani, the snakes and the birds don't fight. Eagles, they don't fight like that. You know. Very peaceful. There's plenty of ashrams, free. I mean, what it is, basically, it's a roof with a wall with holes in it, like that. You can have free, you know. The other one we call them, kutis for sannyasis. Very, very, like, sattvic place. You know. Other things, too. But many things like that. And then there's free chapatis. You know, no salt, no ghee. You can take as many as you want. And you go to the forest and find, like, fresh green vegetables and roots and stuff like that. And you can live as a sannyasi there just without anxiety. And different ashrams with different programs, 24-hour kirtans going on. You know, so you say, wow, it's just so peaceful, so simple like that. You know, Naimisharanya. So we have to come to this, position. Be able to come to this position, right? Of just, okay. So when they look at you, you're walking around these people, they're looking at you. Usually they're more like Brahma bodies, not actually devotees there so much. Not opposed to it, but it's just a kind of a general thing. But when they look at you, they're looking at you like, what do you know? What is your comprehension spiritually in terms of detachment and higher things like that? And just, they're not looking at you in terms of like, how much can this guy give me for, this or that. It's just very peaceful. It's looking at you like that and like, what does this man know? And maybe we can talk a little bit about yoga, philosophy, culture like that. And so probably there's still many very saintly people there. And they do Ram Bhajan, Krishna Bhajan. They don't know the details scientifically, But they know, you have to go up, you have to be renounced, you have to be purified. And in that position, you can get something higher. We were at the Naradananda Ashram, one of the biggest ashrams there. We were invited to talk. And it was 50 Mayavadi sannyasis, 50 sannyasis with horizontal tilak there. I had to like talk to them. The acharya came in and sat next to me. But they officially wear this Shankara tilak, but they're not really, they're mostly, they're kind of Vaishnavas. But they still have this tendency, So first I started off, Brahmati, Paramatmati, Bhagavan, Nitya, Shabdate. It's, it's all the same God, the same person, whether you're worshiping Brahman or something like that. And then next, Atmaramas, Chamunayo, Nirgranta, Apirukrame. But the most intense relationship is with the personal qualities of the Lord. And they were really impressed that this Western guy, knew the Bhagavatam, was talking intelligently. It's like a dog, a dog. This dog can talk, One of them was challenging us. He was saying, what is your... Why are you walking out with a danda? What claim do you have to be a sannyasi? So I was talking a little bit about our Madhva Sampradaya. And another sannyasi said, no, I know these people in ISKCON. They're always chanting. They're very pure. Their sannyasis are always engaged in nam-bhajan. Then he quoted Tulsidas. And he says, Tulsidas says that if somebody who is always chanting the holy names takes the skin from my body and uses it for shoe leather, I'm blessed. So the other sannyasi didn't want me to take the skin from his body. So he was like kind of calming down. And then the acharya, then after that, then he was listening, and he also very pleased. And he also quoted some very nice things about the potency of the names and stuff like that and so on. So they appreciated it. They were Brahma bodies. They appreciated that it was higher like that. So everyone's at different levels, You're hearing, but you can't quite understand. Become a pure Vaishnava, but you're hearing. And somebody else has this karma and gets a certain kind of body, right? And so what is our actual position? And surrender to Krishna, and then we can make rapid progress, right? You don't have to go through all these different levels. You can, you can be a prostitute in Dwarka. I was quoting about that, right? A courtesan in Dwarka, and go back to Goloka. You don't have to become a man, become a brahmana, become a rishi, go to Maharloka. No. to understand your position and surrender to Krishna, and then you can achieve a supreme destination like that.
So, quick question ahead.
Any comments, questions now? It's okay. Somewhere in the distance, a dog howled. Okay. Yeah. So I was thinking there, I can tell. You're thinking, right?
So fast that it all ends up here.
What is
it? You were very, very fast for me, and everything is going up here.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Kapila says, also, Upadeshamrita says, text number 8, that in the beginning, Krishna Katha is coming like that, you know? And we can't understand it. But it's somehow or other, it seems like the right thing, or our husband takes us to the temple, or our sister or something. So we go there, and we're subjected to that. I know one example, one person was coming for 1 year, every Sunday, and he couldn't understand anything, but he liked the food. You know? And after 1 year, for the first time, he began to actually, you know, understand like that, you know. So in the beginning, it's like that. We're hearing, you know. And different people, different levels, you know. And at a certain point, though, it comes to Shravana Dasha. At that point, we begin to, like, understand it at the heart, you know. In the beginning, the heart's dull. It was a long time in Krishna consciousness before I finally realized I had a heart. Right? I thought it was just kind of like a poetical metaphor or something, and I didn't. And I realized, no, I actually have a heart. This is my head. This is my heart. This is my hand, my head, my heart. You know? So I began chanting and kind of appreciating that, and I realized my heart was not as hard as a stone. It wasn't like that. It was more like a pneumatic tire. It was like an automobile tire. Like, you know, if you hit an automobile tire, right, it's not like a stone. There's some flexibility there, but not very much. You know? And so I was realizing that I had a little bit of, I could feel things, you know, a little bit. You know, yeah. But, you know, so after that, the process then becomes, okay, I've got to chant from my heart. I can chat with my tongue. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And I can, you know, but what am I thinking? Oh, Narayan, give me this. Oh, Narayan, give me that. You know, what she said, what he do. You know, yeah. So then you got to think also. The tongue, the thinking process, and then the buddhi, understanding it. And then finally, you know, loving it. You know, the mantra, you know. So in the beginning we're hearing, you know, that we should go on. Because that would, Shrimbatam Swakata Krishna, that will purify the senses, that will purify the mind, to wake up the heart. And then our heart will become like a lightning bolt, and we'll be able to understand, you know, much faster. One person, he was a director, you know, television. And we were doing what's it called? You get, what's it called? Pandavijay in Dallas. You can get free time on the television. So we had devotees as the cameraman and stuff, and we were making some movies there. And he said, he'd worked with so many cameramen and stuff like that. But he said, working with devotees was actually, you know, difficult because they were so intelligent, they were so sensitive. They, whatever you would say, they would react and stuff like that. They were conscious like that. In the beginning, your senses become purified. You know, no beer, sausages, you know, marijuana, you know, okay. You know. And after that, your mind, you start to think. You can organize stuff, plan, you know. Then you start to understand. Your comprehension is so quick. You say something to a devotee, he goes, yeah, yeah, something, yeah, 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 okay, yeah, 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 I understand, yeah, 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 it's okay, yeah, it's okay, yeah. He does. He understands everything in a few words. And then finally, he's reactive from the heart. You can tell he's actually, you know, listening to you. And that becomes terrifying. This person's actually listening to me, you know. Bhakta Paul, he was in New York, you know, during the hippie era, and he was, you know, into the whole theater scene, and, you know, it was a great, interesting thing, very creative. But he was more a moral guy. He was avoiding, like, you know, gross things like that. So he told me he'd heard about the Hare Krishnas and their guru. he never met them, you know. So he said one day he was in New York, and he heard the sound, you know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He said, oh, it's the Hare Krishna. You know? And this kirtan party came around the corner with people dressed in bed sheets and, you know, stuff like that, you know. And there was an old Indian man walking in front of them with a cane. He thought, oh, it's the Hare Krishna. It's that much, it must be their guru, you know. And so he said, you know, Prabhupada looked at him, and he looked back at Prabhupada, and Prabhupada looked at him. You know, and that was the lighthouse, the guide for him for the next 20 years. That was the bija, right? This exchange of glances. You know? Because when Prabhupada looked at him, he could understand, this person doesn't want anything from me. He has nothing to exploit me for. Whereas everybody else, you can see they got something, you know. And also, too, he's looking at me. He's not looking at my dress or my anything else. He's looking at me, you know. And so he opened up. He was mature enough in his spiritual life. He just kind of like opened up to Prabhupada. And he said, Prabhupada's glance said, you're not happy. And then he responded from his soul, deeply, yes, it's a fact, you know. But I still have a few more options, like that, you know. You know? So Prabhupada responded, you know, like that. And his glance meant, okay, you know, go ahead, try them. But if they don't work out, we're here, like that, you know. And so he went ahead with his material life like that, always remembering, you know, it's the bija. I met that nice person, and he would get some information about devotees and the Hare Krishna movement, and gradually, and try things. And eventually he, you know, took a full-time association with devotees like that, you know. So we become purified more and more until, you know, we're in touch with the super soul. We're just, you know, we can understand everything very quickly, very finely. Prabhupada says we have to accelerate the senses. Right? You know, we have to give up life breathing. How many people here have renounced meat? Yep. Okay. Given up meat? Okay. How many people here have renounced breathing? You have to do it. Yeah, the time of death, you're not going to have any air. Yeah, well, where do you get your prana from? Maha mantra. You have to have that much of a, you know, relationship with it. Hansa Duda, saw him recently. Very nice, seeing him. He did pretty good. He had a heart attack some time ago, and he was almost dying. He was in the emergency room. And the doctor said, doctors came in talking to him. He said, "Wow," you know. He said. He said, "How are you?" "Now I'm doing pretty good," like that. He said, "You know." He said, "I know what you're doing." He said, "What am I doing?" "You're chanting." And this doctor is screaming, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama." You know. If you'd always were there with him, and the doctor smiles and he said, "All the time we were working on you in the emergency room, that's what you were doing." You were just said, "So I learned this whole chant just that 30 minutes with you there," because he was, and he was unconscious, practically speaking, everything else, but he was just like, you know, chanting the Maha Mantra, you know, as life, you know. And this, all the guys are working on his nurses and everything. All these guys, you know. So yeah, he see, after that he was preaching like that. You have to chant as if it's your life's breath, like that, you know? You know? What am I going to do today? Well, if you can't breathe, you know, you're not worried about what you're going to do today. You've got 3 minutes to figure out this problem, you know? You ever have that happen? Almost suffocate, almost drown, you get caught in the water. Everything in your mind just starts going like this and that and this, like, you know, forget this. This, you know, right now is this. Forget all these things. None of this stuff matters. You know? So we have to become like that, as we're saying. And these kind of dialogues are so important because they make us realize, you know, that the ultimate attractive principle is the opposite sex. You know? So we have to figure out, like, what is this relationship? How do I purify it? What's my position? Right? And ultimately, it means we all should be attracted to Krishna. How many males are there? Cosmologically, ontologically, how many males are there? What? So we all, in that sense, we all have to understand how we're supposed to be. We want to be enjoyed by Krishna, cook for Krishna, sing for Krishna, wrestle with Krishna, whatever he wants to do. And then Krishna, he's not proud. This is his position. He's the enjoyer. This is, we all got our job. It's his job. I'm the enjoyer. And everything is natural at that point. So these strong instructions, if we're ready for them, we should take them, right? We should take them and stuff like that. So, any final comments? We're going to be here until, I guess, next Thursday. And we go to Mexico. Nice programs arranged in the university there. Light of the Bhagavad program from our last preaching tour. And then, I guess, come back on the following Monday. And we'll be here until the 19th. And then we go to Tennessee. Right? Then I'm going to go with Jiva Goswami on the 15th. We're going to sit on Continental Airlines flight, whatever it is, from Newark to Delhi. And he's going to have his first experience of India. So, Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna, Mahamantra ki. Text number 40, Kija. Okay. Wow. It gets even heavier tomorrow. It's a game. Kind of a game. Okay. Where should we go?